So the other day I was sitting in traffic and I noticed something about the car in front of me. Instead of the usual, and I know, think what you will about me noticing this, instead of the usual three number and three letter BC license plate, or three letters followed by three numbers that you would normally see, the plate had the numbers and the letters all mixed up. In fact, it looked kind of like a postal code, like M5W1E6 or something like that. And that got me thinking, hey, have we run out of three-letter and three-number combinations? Well, it turns out that yes, ICBC has exhausted the old format plates and this summer rolled out new plates that intersperse the numbers and the letters. So we called up Christopher Garish. He wrote the book on license plates in BC. He actually did. It's a book. It's called Tales from the Back Bumper, A Century of BC License Plates. And Christopher joins us on the line from Penticton. Good afternoon to you, Christopher.
Hello, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Clearly you share my fascination with license plates. What was it, though, about license plates in BC that got you to write an entire book about it?
Well, it's one of those things, you know, as a kid we took a trip across the country, and to keep us busy, my parents had us write out all the different license plates we saw, and it just carried forward, and as I got older, I started to appreciate some of the stories that our plates told about the, you know, past 100 years of the province, you know, albeit from a transportation bent. But there's still enough quirky stories there that I thought I had enough material for a book, and other people thought so too, and sure enough, here we are.
And you're an urban planner by trade. So how does your interest in license plate square with that work as an urban planner?
It's an awkward fit sometimes.
Why is that?
Well, generally, I think when people think of urban planners, we're seen as not necessarily favoring automobiles, car-dependent cultures. Our work is more about, you know, livable, walkable communities. And yet here I have this fascination with automobiles and the license plates that are attached to them. It's not natural, I don't think.
But that's kind of what made me think about this when I saw this license plate with the numbers and the letters mixed up, thinking, wow, if they've exhausted all combinations of three numbers and three letters, there must be an awful lot of cars on the road in British Columbia. ICBC says there are almost 3 million active plates in BC. What do other provinces do when they run out of license plate combinations?
The past practice recently has been for a lot of our neighbors, especially in Alberta, Washington State, Texas, and Arizona, to go to seven digits to meet that demand. When Ontario went to seven digits, they picked a format that I think is going to give them enough combinations for the next 300 years, I heard somewhere. ICBC has been limited by their outdated computer systems, which I think they've had since about the 1980s. And so they didn't have the capability to go to seven digits. So this was seen to be the second best option, just shift all the letters and numbers over a space.
Yeah, and how much time does this buy us, or how many more vehicles can be licensed like this before we do finally have to switch over to seven-digit plates?
I think the way ICBC burns through license plates, there's probably about an 8 to 10 year supply before this current series is exhausted.
And when you say the way they burn through license plates, any idea how many drivers get licensed on the road every year?
I'm not sure about how many actual drivers are licensed.
Or plates, rather.
Yeah, well, the figure I have is about 1.5 million plates a year. That's individual. So it's about 750,000 sets. And that's mostly for passenger vehicles.
That's a phenomenal number of new cars on the road. I guess, though, there are old cars, old plates taken off the road as that happens.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, well, old plates are discarded, lost, replaced. So that accounts for some of the total.
And when ICBC first licensed vehicles, is it true that drivers had to make their own license plates?
Yeah, they did. When the first act was brought in 1904, I don't think many people gave much forethought to the future of the automobile, and then they just assumed that there would only be a limited number. And owners were assigned a number, and it was their responsibility to come up with the plate to display it. The common materials that were used, because horses were still so prevalent, go down to the local stable, get yourself a piece of leather, attach some tin house numbers to it, and put it on the back of your car.
Oh, isn't that interesting? And do any of those still exist anywhere?
It's hard. There are some out there, but when that era ended and the province took over issuing license plates, the materials didn't just disappear. So they've been kicking around for decades, and a lot of vintage car guys who want that last little piece for their automobile, you know, have reproduced these leathers. So there's authentics out there, but there's also a lot of reproductions.
And is it true that at one point prisoners made license plates?
It is. During the Depression, like a lot of other provinces and states, to save some money, BC basically bought out the private manufacturer in Vancouver, took his equipment, put it into Ocala prison, and proceeded to make plates there from 1931 to, I believe it was about 1975 when they finally phased it out.
And why they end up phasing it out? It sounds like, well, they're giving prisoners a job.
Well, there's actually a good story there. You know, for years, Ocala had been, well, a jail for convicts and people on remand. And then when the NDP came in 72, they enacted reforms. And they changed it and shipped the convicts out to regional centers. And the people that were left at Ocala were on remand, you know, technically innocent before the eyes of the law, and couldn't be put to work in the plate shop.
Interesting.
So basically what had to happen is they had to then secure the plate shop from the prisoners and bring in private consultants to do the job. And one of the interesting facts about that is years earlier they'd had an incident where an inmate had put his fingers on purpose into the plate stamping machine, lost a few fingers, and then won an award against the province for a lifetime pension. So to address that, they rigged the system so that it couldn't be activated unless your hands were tied to the machine. When they could no longer use prisoners and had to bring consultants or contractors in, well, in order to get the machines to work, they actually had to tie the contractors' hands to it and treat them just like they were prisoners. And, you know, at that point, they realized they had to get out of it.
Not a nice way to go to work. So here you are. You've written a book about license plates. Clearly, both you and I are fascinated with them. Is everybody else, or are we just weird?
I think we're weird.
I didn't want to ask that question, but I had to.
Christopher, I'm pleased to know that you're weird, too.
Christopher, it's great to hear from you this afternoon. Thank you so much for taking the time with us. I appreciate it.
Oh, no, I appreciate you taking the time to contact me and talk license plates. Nothing I enjoy more.
You take care.
You too.
Bye now. Christopher Garish, the author of Tales from the Back Bumper, A Century of BC License Plates. That is available, by the way, from Heritage House Publishing.